Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And I've never recall you being this anticipated toward a case.
I think it has a lot of elements that are curious to me. And there are several theories and several really plausible theories. I think it's also because I've had this case on the back burner for a little while, and I just never wrote it up for whatever reason. It wasn't for lack of, like, it had the substance. There wasn't any struggle. There's information out there. So I don't know the reason, but I will preface this with saying, like, this is an older case. That's not the part that I think you find hard to believe. It's that this case is so old, and its likelihood of being solved, to be honest with you, is very, very, very low. However, you know, I'm going to be transparent with you in that sometimes I look at those cases and I do truly say, should I cover it? You know, the likelihood of a tip or something happening that would solve this case isn't very high. And the first thing I always, like, slap my hand back on is, if it was your family member, like a grandparent or something, and investigators were like, there's no hope, like, whatever, just forget about it and move on, I would be so hurt and so enraged that someone could just brush something off like that. So that is the piece that makes me say, it could be a long shot, it could be near impossible, but if there is any possibility whatsoever, it should be done.
I agree with you 100%. And it's funny because obviously as I first, you know, throw this through Google, the first thing that comes up is some speculate, blah, 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 blah. This is just like the top whatever. Mm-hmm. His name became a pop culture synonym for mysterious disappearances. But I've never heard of it. So I'm excited for you to dive in.
I know. Actually, there was some source I came across that actually, I think, told you every reference in movies or books that you might have heard this in. And I was like, even if I had, I wouldn't have known. But it was quite an extensive list. And I was like, just goes to show we don't know everything.
All right. So you want to tell us who you're covering and dive in?
I didn't know if you were going to ask me another question or what. But yeah, I am ready to dive in.
Okay.
So the case that I'm going to tell you about today is the case of Judge Joseph Forrest Crater. Joseph was born on January 5th of 1889. See, I'm not lying. It's old. But that's not, of course, where the story ends. He grew up in Easton, Pennsylvania to Layla and Frank, and he had three other siblings. Education seemed to be a focus as he excelled and continued through school. Now, I put that out there because this is maybe a little bit naive of me. Just naive of me is, you know, back in the 1800s, early 1900s, I think of, and actually, I guess it's not that naive because I think of my grandfather's experience growing up in Connecticut in a small town, which was, if he made it to eighth grade, that was a success. And then he would go into the family business, which was basically farming or running our family store way back when. So I'm thinking that a lot of kids, it's a luxury if they're going to college. Most of them are completing maybe like eighth grade, like my grandfather, and moving on to farm work or whatever it is that's going to help support the family, right?
Right.
So I say that it was probably a focus because, you know, he completed his high school and then he went on to college. He went off to Lafayette College, which is very close to home. I didn't know where it was, so I Googled it, and it is right in Easton, Pennsylvania. After completing college, he went on to Columbia University in New York, where he continued his studies, and I don't know exactly what it was, but I think it's really fair to say that he studied law and received his JD, because as you heard me already say, he was a judge, so in order to be a judge, you have to have some law background. He was also involved in a fraternity, which I kind of get the feeling like it's just part of what you do when you go to Columbia or any prestigious school. It's actually stated by Wikipedia in a way that he met his future wife while at Columbia. Her name was Stella, and she had been married. Joseph apparently assisted in the divorce. They courted and married in 1917. Information states that he graduated from Lafayette in 1910, and it wouldn't really make sense that he met her as still a student at Columbia, because that would be an extensive amount of time to spend as a student at Columbia. So I assume he worked in New York after graduation and assisted Stella at that point after he had already become an attorney. Details probably really don't matter, but I found myself a little confused and stuck on that. Wondered if anyone else might be stuck there too. So we have to assume that he started off as an attorney. There's not a whole lot about his early career, but if you're working your way up to be judge, you're typically an attorney, then you're working for the prosecutor, so on and so forth. So yes, he's probably an attorney, maybe in the lower rungs, working his way up, but he was involved with a prestigious political organization called Tammany Hall. I have heard of this in passing, but I didn't really understand what it was. So what it became known for is its major role in controlling New York politics. It's presently dissolved. The downfall of it started with this person, in a way. But I'll get into that a little bit more later. Eventually, Joseph, by about the age of 40, and that's kind of a guess, rose to hold the title of justice for the New York Supreme Court. Joseph and Stella remained a couple throughout and had at least a nice permanent home in New York and a second home in Maine. So they're doing okay. And honestly, at the age of 40, you're doing remarkable. It can be noted that Joseph secured the nickname Good Time Joe, as he had an affinity for dancers and alleged mistresses. Even though we believe Joseph disappeared on or about August 6th of 1930, the mystery starts just days earlier. So Joseph was not to be due in court until late August of 1930, so he had some time off. I don't know how much time, but I can at least assume that it was a month. So what did he do with his time off? Him and Stella headed to their second home in Maine, their vacation home. This was around the last week in July. There is no definitive date, but most sources say late July. Stella stated that Joseph got a call that mildly annoyed him that required him to head back to New York. She stated, he said, "I need to straighten those fellas out." He left to New York, stopped at his apartment briefly, but skipped on to New Jersey to see his dancer mistress, Sally Lou Ritz. Joseph headed back to Maine very shortly after. He was there briefly. I'm not sure why he even bothered to go back to Maine, but he headed back to New York at this time. He went to his apartment, spending some time there, and he also went to his own office and spent hours sifting through papers, destroying them, putting some stuff in briefcases. His assistant helped him out and additionally was also directed to cash checks totaling $5,000. Today, that would be roughly $84,000. No change, right?
Oh, right.
So he brought those briefcases from his office, two of them, back to his apartment, and he basically told his assistant, "You're off. Go do whatever you want to do. See you later." I only heard in one article, it was actually a web source, a YouTube source, that he actually had a housekeeper or something that he basically, I guess, told she was let off the clock, if you will, and he told her that she was going to go, he was going to go swimming, which I don't know if that would make any difference, but it's been said that he was not a swimmer. So very weird information. I don't know where that information came from, but I thought it was just strange enough to mention. So Joseph purchased a show ticket and then went to dinner at Billy Haas's Chop House with friends William Klein and Sally Lou Ritz, as we mentioned before. So at this point, it is still August 6th. He left in late July. He's kind of going all over the map. We see that there's some busy behavior, for lack of better words, on his part. Both people stated initially that they saw Joseph get into a cab after dinner and he was never seen again. Stella stated that Joseph was to return for her birthday to Maine by August 9th, but he did not. Calls were made with no answers, and I think it was kind of assumed that he got caught up with work. When court resumed, like I said, it was going to be the end of August. It's around August 25th, I believe. He didn't show. And initially, everyone on their own simply tried to locate him. So some articles go so far as to say that the court seemed to privately try to have their own investigation into his whereabouts, and they could not locate
him. Well, yeah, he's a judge.
Right. But, I mean, that's they're judges and stuff. They're not investigators, per se, so.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, it's a judge that went missing, not a layperson.
Right. Right. I don't know what their apprehension or fear was by immediately notifying anyone that he was missing. Maybe it would have been made public. Maybe, I don't know. They just didn't. That's what I do know. When it was apparent that they couldn't locate where the judge was, he was then alerted to police as missing. And this was on September 3rd. So he has been
almost a month
missing for a month and last seen a month ago. Police's initial investigation noted emptied safety deposit boxes, those two briefcases as missing and never recovered. So there was investigations that turned up nothing. And before I get into theories, I will just basically skip to eventually, I will say that nothing was discovered, no good evidence to indicate what happened to Joseph, and he was legally declared dead about in the 7-year time frame when he could be declared legally dead by his wife, and no one has ever been able to determine what happened to the missing judge. We have some theories. I think one of the most, in my opinion, least likely theories is, you know, the showgirls. So what happened was, you know, he is involved with showgirls. Eventually, they tried to catch up with Sally Lou Ritz. She was not in town anymore. She left shortly after his disappearance, and they were able to locate her at home with her parents, Midwest, and she had seemingly been there the whole time, and she didn't have any information to offer. There was another showgirl that he was at least sort of involved with that they caught up with, and she was actually in a mental institution, and anything that she was able to offer was incoherent they didn't get anything out of that one person. So that's kind of where that ended. Then we have a general corruption thing going on, right?
With all the money?
Was it someone made him disappear or he disappeared? Or was it, also generally speaking, mob involvement? And I think that that is kind of easy to wrap your head around. When there's corruption going on, you feel like, oh, the mob's not too far behind. So within all of those theories, it is, did someone make him disappear? Or did he disappear on his own? So in terms of corruption, I will start there. Now, let me go back to what I mentioned earlier, which is Tammany Hall. So right before Joseph disappeared, there was a start of an investigation, and this would become the Seabury Commission. Now, what this looked into was that Tammany Hall, this institution, a political institution, like I said, apparently was being accused of buying judges and important people's seats in New York politics, which, as you know, that's pretty corrupt, right? We want fair and just votes for people and a fair shot for them to get their place as judge or politically speaking anywhere, right? One theory is that the walls were kind of closing in on him. And, you know, people had questions about how he rose to the top so easily and so fast. Did he buy his seat as judge in New York State? And if that were to be true, did he feel like the only option he had would be to disappear? Now, we know that we've never found him. So if he disappeared, he did a very good job. But the events of what happened on August 6th kind of line up with something perhaps like that, right? So he goes to his office, he spends hours destroying documents, packing up documents, putting particular things in briefcases to bring those briefcases home. And we have a witness that that happened because they helped him. Those briefcases were never recovered. He also has a substantial amount of money. He cashes checks totaling $84,000, which that's a pretty great lump sum of money to start your new life, right?
Yeah.
And then we have safety deposit boxes that were emptied.
And obviously we have no idea what was inside those.
I didn't get a list or a report about what was inside those, no.
No one legally has to declare it, so we probably don't know.
Fair enough. In addition to $84,000, who knows what those items were that could be sold for money or whatever. So if he were to leave his life, he's going to start out okay. Now, I will say there have been so many sightings all around the world. Like, there was, I thought about listing them all and I was like, there's no point. Like, he's been seen all over the world at different times, different locations. Nothing has been confirmed. Nevertheless, all of this information coupled together makes you think.
Oh, for sure.
Then there's kind of a theory about his death. Which, this is where one theory makes me think, like, how can this ever be solved? So one theory is that he was killed by someone, by the mob or something like that for his involvements, and that his body could be found where the now the aquarium in New York City is. Now, no one ever found anything at groundbreaking that would determine that there were any remains there. But if there had been, it looks pretty bleak because, as one YouTuber had stated, he had no descendants, so there's no one to compare DNA to. And you can't compare them to dental records because he had dentures. That seems pretty bleak to me. Now, could his involvement with the mob have, if we're thinking he was involved with the mob, led to his demise? Maybe, but then I actually don't really understand how we can explain away his actions on August 6th of cashing checks, apparently going to his safety deposit box and taking everything out, right?
Yeah, I don't like any of this.
honestly, I actually can't believe I land here.
Are you about to tell me he left his life? Because that's where I am.
I think he left his life.
Amy, we never go there.
His wife was a little bit, I mean, she gave this information, but she was a little bit weary about testifying. I don't know if she knew anything, but if she did, that would mean that she's signing up to be alone for the rest of her life and to basically be without her husband. So I don't really know why she would partake in that. I think it's pretty plausible that he left every single thing behind, including his mistresses like Sally Lou Ritz. I think it's a coincidence that she left town and that she ended up at her parents at that particular time. So yeah, I think he thought he was going to go to prison for the rest of his life and he was going to be disgraced.
Or he was involved with the mob and thought he was going to die.
I mean, sure. That could be a reason too. Or just he's like, the mob is after me. I'm about to be found out through this investigation. So all of these reasons I'm going to leave my life.
So basically all the world is caving in, so why not run?
Absolutely.
And with no kids, all he's leaving behind, and not all he's leaving behind, but he's not leaving behind, you know, a two-year-old. He's leaving behind his wife who he was cheating on. And that sounds terrible, but like in the grand scheme of things, that's not a huge life to leave, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, he didn't have parents and siblings and kids and nieces and nephews and all that running around where, that you know what I mean? He was super connected.
Right. And I'm not pretending to know how he felt about his wife, but he's definitely got other interests other than his wife. So if it's easy to step out on her a little bit, maybe just all the way do it.
Okay, so let's just walk through foul play.
Okay, so I mean, I want to expand as much as I can on the mob thing. It's hard to because it's very generalized. Like, you don't get involved in, like, a Whitey Bulger thing, right? This is kind of just names thrown around. No specific evidence that they're referring to. So, for example, Wikipedia says that he could have been involved with influential business people and that there was illegal activity. And showgirls he was involved with had very close connections to these people in the mob. So, like I said, nothing really clear. So I have to use, like, a very generalized, he was involved with the mob. But, you know, if he's involved with the mob, it's probably because of money. And if he's owing money or if he is not utilizing money as he says he's going to, that is a reason to make someone really mad.
Can you walk me through the event of that day again?
So this is August 6th. He had left from Maine and he was back in the city on August 6th. Now let me go back in my notes for a moment. So let me go back to right before that. He had left originally early August or late July. He had gotten a phone call in Maine that he had to return to the city. He did for a brief time, but then pursued New Jersey to check in with a mistress or whatever. He goes back to Maine and then returns to the city August 6th. His wife said he was in good spirits, nothing out of the ordinary. He goes right to his apartment and then he goes to his law office and he spends several hours in his office. He's going through documents. He's destroying some documents. He's filling up two briefcases with we don't really know what. His assistant is helping him. His assistant helps him bring those two briefcases back to his apartment and relieves him of his duties. He goes on to purchase a ticket. I think it's a singular ticket to a show. He likes shows, not unusual. But then he goes to a chop house with an old friend and Sally Lou Ritz. After that, they both claim that they saw him get into a cab. Now, I will say that they both changed their stories a little bit and stated that they didn't actually see him get into a cab and that he, I guess, walked away down the street or something like that. And that's the last they ever saw of him. No cab driver has ever stepped forward and said that they had him in his cab, which they believe that cab drivers at that time would have most certainly recognized him. That was the level of his popularity. I don't know that I would recognize, even today with our social media, any influential political people if I walked into them at a Starbucks or something, but I can't.
Yes, you would.
Like,
you'd recognize some of them.
Some of them, sure, but I don't know that I'd recognize a judge. Like, I couldn't tell you that's a fair. Judge in my county if I came across them.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that.
But anyway, they seemed to do their due diligence and came up with nothing that would actually state that a cab driver picked him up and let him off somewhere. I don't actually even know if they could confirm if he was at the show. I looked for some confirmation. I'm like, he had a ticket, but I didn't find that or hear that in the YouTube channels that I was listening to. We seem to have confirmation he was at this restaurant, and that is it. Whether he got in a cab or left walking, we don't really know.
But it sounds like he was getting all his ducks in a row to leave.
To me, yeah. And then you go to a show alone, you're like, let me go out with a bang, maybe?
No, I think that he was smart, and the dinner and a show was to buy him that evening.
Oh.
Like, dinner, see some old friends, people be like, yes, I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And then escape in the dark hours of night.
It leads me to wonder how he left, because I have to assume he had a driver or he drove home from Maine, right? Like, it would make sense to me if he was in the city the whole time and didn't have a vehicle, right? Because many people don't have a vehicle in cities.
Right.
But he got home from Maine, so it was either him or a driver. How did he get out of the city?
Amy, we're talking about the 30s. Like, it's not like we're talking about now where everything is tracked. If he, you know, walked 10 blocks, got into a cab, got dropped off somewhere else, and then got into a different cab and left the city, people may not know who he is.
Fair, but I think he had to have something waiting somewhere for him. Like, let's say he accomplished getting out of the city, right? And he, I don't know, ends up in Stamford, Connecticut. I would think he has to have a person or a vehicle or something waiting for him, or a train ticket or something.
Or close to $100,000 in cash. So what does he need it for?
Well, at minimum, it has to start his new life.
Right, but I'm saying, like, he could have just taken trains and planes and whatever across the country and landed in Wyoming and then bought everything there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do think he left his life.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I think that his...
In the 30s.
His involvement with the mob or people trying to blackmail him, or if he's trying to get out of this investigation, I think he was smart enough to leave before any of these things happened to him. Perhaps he moved around his whole life and maybe those sightings in part were real. But I just don't think that he left and was killed.
I agree, which is crazy.
Well, let's say just for a moment that he owes someone money. So he has to deposit cash these checks, and he clears out a safety deposit box to give someone money that needs it or wants it or is trying to blackmail him, right?
No, if he left his life, he wasn't paying anyone. Let's be real.
However, that still doesn't explain what he was doing in his office and with all the paperwork.
Yes, it does. If he was dirty in any way, shape, or form, he's destroying the evidence of that.
Well, I'm thinking more of the mob or blackmail. Like, let's say that someone is going to release some information about him, or let's say he owes someone money.
Right. He has to destroy anything having to do with that.
Okay.
Before he leaves. And someone's blackmailing him. He's destroying any evidence about the blackmail and then whatever he's being blackmailed about. Or if he's, you know, fixing court cases, he's destroying any evidence about him doing
that. Okay, fair enough. But if he was taken by surprise, that doesn't explain why those two briefcases are missing.
I don't think they're missing. I think they're wherever he is.
Well, correct. But I'm looking at it just to make sure from the angle of if something happened to him that was foul play. Because I can explain away.
Well, the briefcases had documents and cash. And whoever took them, if it was foul play, kept the cash. And then...
Well, they would have to know that the briefcases were in his apartment and not his office. So let's say, like, someone took him off the streets of New York or whatever, I can explain away like him taking out all that money and preparing to pay someone, right? But I can't explain how those two briefcases were missing if it was foul play. So that supports me in believing that he left his life.
So I would just say if you kidnap someone and if so, let's say he's attacked and kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine they're going to take him to his office at a courthouse. They're going to take him home. And they're going to ransack his apartment, and they're going to look for what's there, and they're going to find the briefcases.
I mean, you have to remember that the apartment wasn't in poor condition.
No, I'm just saying that they're not going to take him to his office, though.
True. True. So while it's a less of a likelihood for me, it is possible that they took him and said, okay, where's your money, and where are these documents? And he's, you know, has a gun to his head, and he says, they're in my apartment, and they go, and then they kill him.
Yeah, I guess it's possible, but I think he left his life.
I do, too. But I thought it was only fair to really tease that out and look at the possibility.
I agree. I am dying to know what listeners think about this one.
Seriously.
Because you and I rarely ever both agree on leaving their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, even if he went on to have a companion and have a child... It's not like they could plug their stuff into genealogy and it would come up as being, I mean, it could, his bloodline, but like, we don't have anything to compare against, so we're never going to know.
Right. Oh, I hate that. You want to open it up?
I do. Let's figure out what you guys think.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to hear what you guys all think because... Amy and I never this quickly decide on leaving their life and feel so good about it.
Absolutely. I will tell you, there's a lot of very fine details that I left out because this could get very complicated very fast. So I kind of gave you the general stuff. And some of it for me was a little bit hard to understand in terms of investigations and things like that. So I totally encourage you, if you have found yourself like, perplexed over this and very curious, go look it up. You're going to find a ton of information about it and much more detail than I've presented here. And if you want to do that and still come back to us and have a conversation, I'm totally open to it.
All right, guys. Tell us what you think. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.